And we're back for another episode of the Wire Fantasy Football Podcast. Kyle, just me and you. What's up?
What's going on, buddy? Happy week seven.
Yeah.
The bipocalypse is pretty much out of the books now.
We made Bimageddon. It's gone. It's over with. So we can finally live and see the top six offenses back on the field again next week.
We can finally move on with our lives.
Yeah. Now we can set full lineups again.
Yeah. Thank God. That was rough.
This week, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some fantasy football trade deadline guys you should be selling high on, buying low on. Got a couple fun things to talk about beforehand. Let's jump into it.
Let's get it.
Yeah. It's the Wire.
It's the Wire.
D. Griffin. This the Wire, serving up a hot take. Around the league, serving gems like a hot plate. Who's the flex? First pick, rounds 4-8. Trading with the base, that Superman, we need a cape. This that fantasy, see who get the glory. Who's gonna stay up in their lane talking Tory? Who gonna ride up on the train where the hype at? Yeah, you wanna start them, but matches, you might not like that. Three tutties next week, man, he's double covered. Takes on 100 coming out the oven. Tim and Todd, they the guys, know you gotta love them. Take your pick, do it quick, they on fire. The Wire.
All right, Kyle, like we said in the intro, Bimageddon's done. How you feeling?
Whew. Well, I made it out 6-1. So somehow, some way, I don't understand how, but we take the dubs where we can get them. But thank God that was over because that was stressful. I felt gross.
It was. Yeah, I was starting like Allen Robinson and super flexes and JD McKissick. And like it was ugly. I ended up going. You went 6-1. I went 7-3. And then I have one rebuild that I don't count on my week to week rankings.
A loss is a win.
A loss is a win. So yeah, you know what? Thank you.
You got it. See, that's what I'm here
Thank
for.
Thank you. So 8-3.
There you go.
I like it. But so let's start Kansas City. We have to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Super Bowl hangover, man. It feels that way.
They're doing things that they don't normally do. You know what? I know what it is? Turn the ball over.
Turn the ball over. Yeah.
That's the only thing it is. That's it.
Mahomes, I think, is pressing a lot. I feel like the defense last year was very opportunistic when it came to getting turnovers at the right time. They weren't the best as far as just the whole unit, but they were getting turnovers when it mattered. This year, they're not. They're just giving up points. And I feel like Mahomes is really trying to force the issue by himself. He's kind of trying to put the whole team on his back and just make things happen. And then you end up seeing these kinds of plays like he had yesterday where he's holding onto the ball to the last possible second and he ends up getting crushed while trying to flip the ball out to somebody who's nearby and it's going to get him killed. Plays that we had last year that, you know, looked amazing and were highlight reel plays because, oh, look at what this guy can do. They're just not making it right now and he's getting crushed. And when he got up off the ground, it didn't even look like he was anywhere on this planet.
Yeah, but he passed concussion protocol, so he's going to play this week. They're saying it was a neck injury. The thing with them is they have 17 turnovers in seven games. 17. The next closest is the Jaguars and Jets at 12. Five more turnovers than the Jets and Jaguars. With rookie quarterbacks and whatever you want to call whoever trotted out there when Zach Wilson got hurt this week.
Yep.
I mean, they have more. We're talking about the Lions. We're talking about, you know, Matt Ryan throwing an interception. We're talking about some bad football teams, and they're almost, you know, 1.5 times as many turnovers, and they've only gotten 2 takeaways. So they have 7. I'm sorry, they have 7 takeaways. They have a negative 10 differential, the worst in the NFL in turnover differential.
And now they're 2-4. When would we ever would have thought that the Chiefs would be 2-4?
I had them losing 3 games all year.
Yeah, it's crazy, and we're. I mean, not even at the halfway point. We're almost there, but 2-4 and not looking great right now. Can't, you know, I kind of thought that there was at least a potential to lose to Tennessee, but not like that, not getting blown out.
I thought Tennessee was going to win. Yeah. I didn't expect it to be 27-3.
Now. Yeah.
I expected Derrick Henry to go crazy, which he didn't.
Yeah. That's why he threw a touchdown pass because he wasn't getting the production on the ground. So he had to throw the ball. So So well, got to get a point somehow.
It was a pretty good throw, too.
Yeah, not bad. It was. Tim Tebow jump pass.
Hey, I'll take it. But, yeah, I mean, the second most interceptions in the NFL and the most fumbles, that's not going to lead to wins. That's really what it comes down to. You already know that Andy Reid is not going to control the clock well. He's just going to call random timeouts or no timeouts. And then I think I agree with you. He's pushing. Mahomes is pushing, and he's forcing the issue. And like Wentz did last night when he tried shuffling the ball and it just floated out of his hands and got picked off. Those are the type of things where all those highlight plays, like you said, you hit the nail right on the head. Everything's backfiring that wasn't last year or the year before.
Yep.
Great, you can read a defense, but don't turn the ball over.
Yeah. These are the pros and cons when you have a gunslinger quarterback. It's great when the play works out and it's one of those, oh, no, yes, kind of plays. And now it's just, no, don't do that. But
we've seen it with Favre. We've seen it with Stafford. We've seen it with so many of these quarterbacks. He's not a Tom Brady, a Peyton Manning, or an Aaron Rodgers. Well, a little bit closer to Aaron Rodgers. But, like, those guys, the ball's out quick. They already broke down the defense before the snap, et cetera, et cetera. And when the play breaks down, good things happen or really bad things happen. That's really what it comes down to. Like, Kyler's going to have a year like this, too. Yep. You know it's going to happen.
Oh, sure.
So I expect them to turn it around. Would I be all surprised if they're 2-4 now, if they end up, 13-4? No, I wouldn't be.
Yeah.
I mean,
it'd be a hell of a run.
It would be. Of course it is. Yeah. And I mean, where were the Bucks last year at this time? They're 2-3. They just got blown out by 30 by the Saints on national television.
Mm-hmm.
Good teams turn it around, right? And Chiefs are a good team.
Yeah, no,
they got playmakers. They got guys like Chris Jones on defense, Tyrann Mathieu. They got some playmakers, and that offense is loaded.
Yeah, no, you make a very good point. And they have plenty of guys who have been there. Obviously, they returned most of their team from last year. They know what it takes to get there, and whether it's some kind of players only meeting intervention type thing, they have what it takes. They have the leadership to turn this thing around and make a run. I mean, we've seen them in plenty of games where they're down 21, 28 points, and then they make a comeback. Maybe they could scale that out on a season level and really kind of turn this thing around. So don't panic for any players that you may have. Don't panic. They can turn this around.
The players are all producing, so it's not like people are like getting mad at Tyreek is still going off. Mm. Kelsey is still being the tight end one. So it's not like, fantasy football truly really being affected. Yeah, they've been losing, but as far as fantasy football, everything's been all right. You know, I'm still happy with my production I'm getting out of Tyreek.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I want 40 every week, but there's going to be games of 13 followed by 41. You know, it's going to happen. It happens to the best of them, and he's the best of them. So I'm not concerned with KC. They're going to be just fine. They're going to be in the Super Bowl. It's either them or Buffalo or Tennessee or Indy, in my opinion. Those are the top four teams in the AFC.
Yeah.
I know Indy is a head scratcher, but
they're playing well.
They're you're starting to see the reason why I was so high on them.
Mm-hmm.
Phillip Rivers can lead that team to the playoffs. Carson Wentz can lead them deeper.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it comes down to. So topic number two, Kenny Gainwell. Miles Sanders with a low ankle sprain. Couple pretty good matchups coming up. They have Detroit this week, and then they have the Chargers. Two really bad run defenses. What are your thoughts?
Well, we know Miles Sanders is probably going to be week to week. That was confirmed by the coach. It looks like it's going to be a low ankle sprain. So nothing crazy in terms of missing a bunch of time, but Kenny Gainwell has value in PPR leagues. He caught a touchdown yesterday. He's going to get some run in that offense. He's seen the field. I think he's been on the field around 30% of snaps to this point. It's going to be the him and Boston Scott show a little bit.
Losing goal line work to Boston Scott is a little concerning. Boston Scott hurt. Out of anybody.
Yeah, that does hurt a little bit. Him and Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts seems to be getting a lot of goal line carries, and that's what's propping up his fantasy value a little bit.
But they're not designed.
No,
he's breaking the pocket. So that's one of those things. Like Kyler Murray, he hurts his running backs goal line potential, right? He's taking carries away. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts, they're throwing the ball and he's running it in.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a little bit more of a not a negative, not a positive, but not a negative, right? So, I'm just like, Boston Scott, he's like 5'6".
Yeah. No, it's tough. I think it was just one of those, he's the available body. They probably, I think they only dress three running backs normally. But running backs are hard to come by. So this is another one you can kind of pick up off your waiver wire. I'm sure Kenny Gainwell was not very rostered. So if you're the Miles Sanders owner, maybe you should have had him. If not, go pick him up. If you're hurting for a running back, go grab him.
At 10 of on Sunday, I dropped Kenny Gainwell.
Oof.
In a redraft league. I had to, because that's when Sterling Shepard was announced inactive.
Yep.
And it's by McGannon, so I had to make a decision.
Yep.
It was either him or Gronk. And I felt, you know, Gronk was going to come back and be a little bit more high end for me, you know, because yep. I'm not going to start Shepard again. I'm not going to, you know, one of those things. But I dropped Kenny Gainwell to pick up Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Ah.
Yeah, I got burned by Amon-Ra this week. But two plus matchups. I expect Sanders to miss 2 weeks. They're not a contender. I don't think they're going to force him back. Let the kid run a little bit. He's getting very steady flow in targets. Other than 1 week, he's been very steady. I like Kenny Gainwell. He's a buy low in fantasy for me. He's a buy low in dynasty especially. Mm-hmm. I know we want to kind of stick with the redraft this week, but if you have an open spot, if you have Sanders, you have to add Kenny Gainwell the rest of the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last one, and then we're going to jump into our buy lows and sell highs. Ja'Marr Chase and Kyle Pitts went wild this week.
Not bad for a rookie tight end and a guy who couldn't catch the ball in the preseason, huh?
Yeah, because there was no lines in the football.
Yeah, it's wild. But yeah, they showed out in a big way. Against Marlon Humphrey.
He one on one every time. All of his catches were on Marlon Humphrey.
Shadowed. Yeah, no, it's wild. And what's kind of crazy to me is last year, Joe Burrow struggled against Baltimore. Now, obviously, it's a very different Baltimore defense in terms of their production, and losing Marcus Peters really hurts. But still, Joe Burrow has taken a big step in his development. He's proven to be a upper echelon quarterback. I think he's going to be a top 10 to 12 quarterback the rest of the way. But Ja'Marr Chase can ball. Kyle Pitts can ball. The two big time rookies that, especially in one quarterback leagues, I think were top 3 to 5 picks guaranteed in any kind of rookie drafts. But they were in your regular drafts, they were the first rookies to really come off the board for a lot of people.
Yeah, so it's these two in Najee. So, I mean, they've shown out. They've produced. We love both of them coming in. I thought it was going to take a little bit longer for Ja'Marr Chase to show this. I knew he was this. I thought it was going to be later on in the year he was going to start to do it, not the first 7 weeks of the year. But this is the player he is.
Yep.
He's an alpha dog. He's a monster. He's a complete wide receiver. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. He now has hands. And
he found them.
And he's good with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's a hard guy to tackle. That's one of those big things with him. He's like a Deebo Samuel, like a A.J. Brown, like these guys where they get the ball and it takes two of you to bring him down or he's falling forward.
Right.
You know, he broke an 80-yard play this week because he broke two tackles.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it was a blown coverage. It's not like DeSean Jackson just goes untouched for 80 yards or Van Jefferson or one of these guys. He's breaking two tackles against guys like Marlon Humphrey and going for 80 yards. It's impressive. Impressive.
Yeah, and Kyle Pitts is built the same way. He's a wide receiver.
He's built different.
He's a unicorn.
He is a unicorn. He's going to get 1,000 yards this year, too. He's on pace for 1,200.
Yes, he's on pace for 1,200 right now, which kind of makes our bet look a little bit better.
What's Tyler have to give us?
I don't know.
I think he made the bet with somebody else. I think it was $100.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yep. It was one of the league chats. But he's on pace for 1,200 yards. I don't see him slowing down. He's the official wide receiver, too, for that team. I don't see it slowing down anytime soon. So
he's a wide receiver.
Yeah. That's it.
And he's a wide receiver. He's more of a wide receiver than Darren Waller. He's more of a wide receiver than TJ Hockenson. He's more of a wide receiver. Mark Andrews is a legitimate tight end. Kelce is a little bit more of a wide receiver than a tight end, the way he lines up. But Pitts, he's out wide.
Yeah.
He's also blocking, but he's out wide. He's running wide receiver routes. It's not a bunch of drags and ins and seams. He's running posts and slants and this and that and outs and zigs.
Yeah.
He's running it all. He's finding holes in the zone. We could spend all of this episode talking about how much we love Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is the more that Cordero Patterson plays in the backfield when Mike Davis is not quite living up to expectations that a lot of people... Yeah. You have Cordero Patterson in the backfield and not lined up out wide. Now you just have Kyle Pitts and Calvin Ridley on the outside. It's money. Easy money.
That is a good transition into the buy lows. And my buy low is the guy you just mentioned, Calvin Ridley.
Mm-hmm.
He has not lived up to my expectations of being a top three wide receiver this year. He's been good, don't get me wrong. You know, 12 to 18 points a game. Nothing crazy. He's not hurting you. But he's not putting up 40-point games like I expected.
Yeah.
I expected him to have a game that Chase had, et cetera, et cetera. I'm a buy low on him. I'm using a guy like Robert Woods and a mediocre running back for a lesser running back in Ridley. You know, like a using like Cordell Patterson, for instance, right? So I'm taking Robert Woods and Cordell Patterson. I'm trying to get Ridley and Michael Carter, right? And I'm winning that trade if I get it.
Yeah.
Carter's been average, perfect. He's just a nice little bye week guy, a flex option. Ridley has a higher ceiling than Woods, especially with what Kupp has been doing. But he's been producing, and they might want the running back help with Patterson, kind of sell high on him. Ridley is definitely a buy low for me. What are your thoughts?
No, I like it. I think, or I hope at least, that maybe he's figured some stuff out. I don't know if he missed the London game with some personal thing going on.
Which is okay. He's not hurt.
Right, exactly. He's not hurt.
Already had his bye week.
He had his bye week, so you don't have to worry about that. And like you said, he hasn't been living up to those crazy expectations or crazy production that he had last year with Julio being out. But he's been solid. He hasn't hurt you. And that just means to me that it can only go up from here. We've basically seen him at his floor. I think he had, 10 targets yesterday. I think it was on 4 catches, something like that. But the targets are there.
Yep.
And
volume is there.
Volume's there. Volume's king. And of course, he's a perfectly talented guy. I like that as a buy low for sure.
Awesome. What do you got?
My first buy low is Khalil Herbert. Now, I know we had a little bit of back and forth on this prior to recording, but to me, he's a good buy low candidate because I think he'll still have a role even if Montgomery comes back. Back-to-back double-digit fantasy point games.
He's been good.
He's been good against the Bucks of all teams, which...
Yeah, did not see that one coming.
Did not see that one coming at all.
Especially with Damian Williams active.
Yeah, Damian Williams was active. They were down pretty much from opening kick and were playing catch up, or at least trying to play catch up the whole game. But somehow he still managed to get a bunch of touches on the ground. He's been averaging around 5 yards a carry. You can probably get him from someone who won't be convinced that he's going to have a role when Monty comes back.
For nothing. He might even still be available in some of your leagues.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's available in one of mine.
Yeah, so I mean, to me, that's an easy scoop up. And
I'm the one that caught him. I made a mistake. I saw Tampa. I panicked. I saw Damian was active, and I dropped him. I forgot who it was for, but I needed somebody at wide receiver, I think, this week, and I made the mistake. But again,
it's not bad process.
I wasn't killed by it.
Right, and that's the thing. It's one of those things where I think, you know, he's a good flex play in a world where running back is hard to come by.
I picked up Johnson.
Oh, no.
D'Ernest Johnson. So, I mean, I didn't make a bad decision.
Yeah, right. That still worked out pretty well. And, I mean, he could be another one.
Chubb's going to be active this week, but yeah.
I think he'll be active, but Hunt is still out. Maybe D'Ernest earned himself a little bit of a role. But, Khalil Herbert's my first buy low. And
you want to know who my buy low is?
Go for
His
it.
Running mate. Monty. David Montgomery. Reason being is, remember last year, the end of the year, how crazy David Montgomery owners were, because he had such a soft schedule, blah, blah, blah. He has a soft schedule. Mm-hmm. He's in a division where nobody can stop the run.
Yep.
So he gets to play Green Bay twice. They're not good against the run. And Jalen Smith is not going to solve that issue because he freeballs it. Minnesota, not good against the run. So of his seven games coming up after his bye, Baltimore, Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota, Seattle, and the Giants, all bottom 10 worst run defenses in the NFL. The only negative game he has is against Arizona. And he has shown the ability to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield.
Absolutely.
And what I think is going to happen is they're not going to care about game script going forward with Justin Fields, because they just tried to do that against Tampa, and he was running for his life, and he looked like he's never played quarterback before in his life. He looked so bad. I honestly, if somebody would have offered me a second round pick for Justin Fields, I might have just taken it, because I didn't want to watch that anymore. Mm-hmm. That's how bad I felt as a Justin Fields owner. But don't even send me the offer that way. But like mid-game, I might have just smashed accepted it out of pure rage.
Yeah.
But I think that going forward, they're going to lean on Monty, use him to get the play action game going, get him out and roll outs out of the pocket using play action, dump off to the running back. Try to get Justin Fields back to being comfortable, because he's not comfortable right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. He's shaken. Yep. That game, he was shaken. He fumbled, what, four times and threw two picks?
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
Yeah.
But 6 out of 7 positive matchups coming off of injury, coming fresh and healthy. Now is the time to do it while he says one more week. Somebody might be worried about bye weeks or this or that. Right now is the time to buy David Montgomery.
Yeah.
In redraft, none of this conversation is dynasty. We're not talking about buying guys because they're older, younger, this or that. Nope, we're talking about this year and trying to win. And David Montgomery is a guy that I'm trying to acquire everywhere.
Yeah, no, it's a good pick. And you made a good point about the state of the offense and the state of Justin Fields right now. He doesn't have time to throw. He doesn't have time to read a defense. And that was a big knock on him coming in, was, you know, being able to process defenses. He needs a little bit more time. What helps with that? A running back where you can give cheap dump offs and kind of get him a little bit more comfortable with the offense. They have to do something to get that offense going, because it's not working right now. But yeah, if you can afford them, especially their bye week is coming up, so you can, you know, like you said, managers worried about
you're buying him or stashing him anyway. You're looking at those six games.
Yeah.
That you have plus matchups that he could go for 20 to 25.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at green light go.
Yeah.
Those green matchups in Yahoo, I'm trying to get those.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of those things where, you know, if somebody needs some wins right now, you know, they came off with a bad start and they're not going to be able to use Monty for a couple of weeks, take him off his hands.
Somebody owns Monty is probably 2-5.
Yep.
1-6, 3-4, and they're going to make a desperation play. If I can turn a high-end wide receiver into a middle wide receiver in Monty and giving another small piece, that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
Right. If I could take like a let's say I have three good wide receivers. If I could take like an Amari Cooper and turn him into like a T. Higgins, and that's probably a bad one. Like somebody like one of those like mid to low end wide receiver twos. And then get back a Montgomery and then throw in a low-end wide receiver flex play like a Cole Beasley, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm trying to acquire Monty. Yeah. I'm not giving my starting running back for Monty. I'm using like the way my roster is built to acquire this player. Because
right.
It's not dynasty. I'm not throwing a first-round pick to get him. I'm not doing, you know, oh, you want to take Kadarius Toney and Brandon Ayuk, and you're rebuilding, and give me my... We're talking redraft here. Try to acquire him now. Age doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, you're in for the here and now, so you're trying to... Every week matters, basically. Mm-hmm. Now, while we're talking about good schedules, I'm going to give you my next buy low.
Go for it.
Elijah Mitchell. We just came off a game.
You want one of his jerseys?
I kind of do, to be honest. I love rooting for the guy.
I'll be honest with you. I think I have a closing coming up. I think I'm getting a Tyler Higbee jersey.
There you go.
I think so. Hey, I own him in too many leagues not to have it.
I was saying, you've been a big Higbee guy, so why not?
I have been. Go ahead.
That's it. That's what we're here for. Yeah, he just had a great game against Indy where they opened the game, runs 7, 8, 12. He just was tearing through that defense. And then for whatever reason, Shanahan just said, nope, we're good. But at least he finished with over 100 yards and a touchdown. Now, you might get him off somebody who said, you know what, I'm kind of tired of the Shanahanigans and I don't know what's going on with this team. I'm all set. I'm done. Whatever. And that's when you kind of swoop in. And to me, he's the RB1 for that offense. Every time he's been on the field or he's been available, he's been the starting running back. And the second half, the playoff schedule, the fantasy playoff schedule for him, pretty sweet. Seattle, Cincinnati, Atlanta, Tennessee. And then you get Houston in your championship game.
Yeah, the Tennessee game is the only game I'm worried about. But let's get there.
Yeah.
That's fantasy playoffs.
Yeah.
He's getting you to the buy-in game. Right. Let's do it. I don't blame you. Trey Sermon is useless, especially in redraft. Don't even bother holding him. I don't care how deep your benches are. There's guys with more upside. Jermichael Hasty's back. He's getting the passing down work. Trey Sermon is not involved in that offense.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. He's not a guy I'm trying to acquire. He's just not one of my type of guys. But my last buy low, and then we'll get yours and we'll jump into these sell highs. Robbie Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not sexy. It's not hot. But we're talking about a guy in the last 4 weeks. His target totals are 11, 7, 11, and 9. The issue is they're all around the line of scrimmage. You want to know where they were last year when he was the wide receiver 19?
No, it was downfield.
Nope. All around the line of scrimmage.
Oh, really? Okay.
Everything was by the line of scrimmage. They were sending DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel deep and having him run these underneath drags and getting him in space because he's good with the ball in his hands. He's fast.
Mm-hmm.
The issue this year is he's being tackled when he catches the ball or the ball's being knocked out mm-hmm. or Darnold's getting hit. I think that he's about to trend upwards. I think this is the perfect time. He's just coming off a 4-point week. Everybody is very frustrated with Robbie Anderson. As an owner, I'm frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But I know going forward that getting 9 to 10 to 12 targets a game is going to turn into something, right? If Calvin Ridley, if we're talking about how he's getting 9, 7, 11, 12 targets, and listen, he's going to come down with the ball more now. Robbie Anderson is too.
Yeah.
He has the relationship with Darnold from the Jets. We've seen it. And I think he's about to start trending up. The volume is there.
Volume's king. And that's one of the things that you absolutely look for in a player. It's really tough to see I think it's like a 35% catch percentage or something that he's been on lately. But you know, it'd be one thing if he wasn't getting opportunity and dropping the ball, but he's at least getting the opportunity. So you have to figure at some point he's an NFL receiver. He knows how to catch the ball.
Oh, it's not that he's dropping the ball. Right. He had one game where he had the dropsies,
yeah.
But like in the game where he had the dropsies, he had 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
The last four games, he's got 9.9, 5, 10.1, and 4.4.
Yeah. So, I mean, when we're looking at buy low, this can really be a buy low where somebody just either decides they're going to drop them. I know I've dropped them in some leagues.
See?
Or you can just get them for ridiculously cheap because somebody's
he's not going to cost you much. You could probably like give like a handcuff, a backup tight end,
mm-hmm.
use him as a throw-in piece in one of these other trades. When you're getting this much volume, it's going to translate. It has to.
Eventually it has to turn around, for sure. Yeah, so I'll give you my last one, and it's Stephon Diggs.
Love it.
Complete other end in terms of buy low. When we say buy low, it's lower than probably what it costs to draft him. To be honest, he hasn't really performed up to his ADP. A lot of people drafted him as the wide receiver one, wide receiver two. He hasn't lived up to that to this point yet. You know, he's not being Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill right now. But same thinking, targets are there. Air yards are there. You have Josh Allen as your quarterback. Average depth of target is there. Everything kind of, all the signs point towards the production will come. It's just a matter of time. We're now past his bye week. I would think that maybe that during the course of that bye week, they kind of build on that maybe the connection a little bit, things start to really come together. It can only go up from here. You know, he's had some good weeks, but you can probably get him from a frustrated owner who either needs some depth to make a playoff push or something like that. Maybe you give a reduced package to get a Stephon Diggs and really push you over the edge for the second half. But yeah, that's my last buy low.
I don't hate it. And you want to know, here's the thing with Stephon Diggs, right? The volume is still there from last year.
Mm-hmm.
The depth of the target is still there from last year. The issue is the 40, 50, 60, 70 yard, 80 yard touchdown passes aren't there right now.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Because last year he had a couple of games where he had 8 catches for 60 yards, and then he'd catch a 50 yard touchdown.
Yep.
And that's another 6, 12 points.
Yep.
So that's right now he's putting 12 points a game. Some plays he was putting up 12 points in last year.
Right.
And it's not that he's not performing, it's not any of that. It's his ceiling is still there. We just haven't seen it yet. And with the injury to Dawson Knox, who's been phenomenal downfield,
yep,
I think it opens it up more. Emmanuel Sanders has been taking a lot of some of those deep balls away. Beasley is Beasley. He's doing exactly what he did last year. He's not taking away from Diggs. It's the emergence of Dawson Knox that's taking away from Diggs. And with Dawson Knox breaking his hand and most likely out for the next 2 to 3 weeks, I agree with you on Diggs.
Yeah,
I can't believe we didn't agree on it. I would disagree on any of these guys. Very surprising. We usually disagree on something. We have to. So I'm gonna find one that I'm gonna be Stephen A. Smith, and I'm just gonna
do
start
it.
Making stuff up. Just to, but sell high, Damian Harris, the number one sell high in the NFL for me right now.
Hmm.
Redraft, dynasty, whatever it is, sell high on him. He just played the Jets and went off. In his next games. Out of his next 7 games, he has Carolina, the number 2 rush defense in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland, very good run defense. Tennessee, we just saw what they've been playing like defensively. Buffalo, twice. We saw what they did to Najee Harris. The Colts with Darius Leonard. And then they have Atlanta mixed in there for one good matchup.
Mm-hmm.
So 7 of his next 8 games, very bad matchups, sell high.
Yeah.
In Dynasty, try to get a 1 and a 2 for him. Or get a Michael Carter in a 1 or something like that. Where with Damian, I'm trying to use him to get a Joe Mixon. I'm trying to use him to get a David Montgomery or one of these guys. Get a top-end player. He's being treated like one this week.
Yeah.
He is, because he just went off. He went with 26 points.
Yeah, right now I think he's like the RB15 right now, and that's nowhere near where you really projected him.
He's about to
him.
Trend down. He's about to have some 7. He's touchdown dependent. He does not catch the ball out of the backfield, and he's just coming off a 26-point week against the Jets.
Yep.
Now is when you try to use him to upgrade your team.
Yeah, no, I like it when you frame it that way, especially if you're trying to upgrade at a position, because you're right. He's not playing the Jets anymore. They just played for the second time, and now you're starting to get into some tough defenses, so... if you can manage to use him as a sell high to get an upgraded running back like a Mixon or, you know, somebody of that ilk, go for it. Don't package down, because I don't know, that's going to be kind of hard to come by when you're looking at running backs. But yeah, I'm all for it in using him for a more established upgrade.
In redraft, I'm trying to send him for Darrell Henderson right now.
Yeah,
that's the type of guy I'm trying to acquire.
Yeah, who has a much better schedule coming up.
Yeah, oh, but it doesn't even matter. He's on the Rams.
Yeah.
It's a better offense.
Right.
Right? So, like, yeah, he's only catching the ball 2-3 times a game, but he's getting 15 to 25 points a week outside this one week for some reason that the Lions showed up.
Yep.
Sell Damian.
Yeah. No, I don't hate it. My first sell high is CeeDee Lamb. And oof. Yeah, it's tough because he ripped our hearts out as New England fans during that overtime game. That kind of hurt me to see. But I think
he have to celebrate? That's the only thing that hurt my heart. Like,
yeah,
like I'm a passionate owner of you in fantasy football, and you're just going to wave at my team as you're running in for a game winning touchdown. Like, Like, I felt like that was personally towards me and not Jalen Mills.
Yeah, he didn't have to do that. I don't know why he had to be like that, but that's the way it goes, I guess. But I think you can take that and turn it into a positive because he just came off his bye, so you can kind of sell him on that, and he came off the big game. But Michael Gallup's coming back. This week, he just came off IR. He's designated to return, so he's going to be back sooner rather than later. That defense is a lot better than what it was last year. They're not giving up nearly the amount of points that they were last year. Less passing volume. So now you're talking about having to split between Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, Schultz, Jarwin, Zeke.
Tony Pollard.
That's a lot of mouths to feed. That's a lot of pie to split up. So to me, you can try and maybe tear down to somebody else like a Robert Woods or something like that. And get something else in return, maybe get another running back. Or trade up for a Cooper Kupp. You might be able to pull that off.
You might be able to pull out a Keenan Allen. You might be able to pull out a DK Metcalf. I don't hate this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard for, as a CeeDee Lamb owner, it's gonna be hard for me to move him.
Yeah.
Cause he's gonna
have these weeks again.
A 40-point week.
Yep.
But you know, it's not about that player getting a 40-point week. It's about your team as a whole and your ability to compete every week.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So if you can instead of having somebody who's going to put 40 consistently 15 to 20 and then reassure like your RB2 or your tight end position, now we're talking, right?
Yep.
It's not all about the tie in players in redraft. It's if you got to have these guys, it's almost like that Deontay versus Claypool argument. Touchdown dependent is tough.
Yeah.
Right. But if you can reassure your depth and if you only have two starting running backs and your next guy is like I don't even want to try to find somebody like a Mike Davis,
mm-hmm.
or a Myles Gaskin.
Yep.
You might be able to turn CeeDee and Gaskin into like David Montgomery and Robert Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And now your team is more ready to compete.
Yep.
Right. Cause you probably took Gaskin in the sixth or seventh and you probably took CeeDee in like the fourth or fifth. So it's not like he's your wide receiver one, if we're talking about that being RB3. So it's all fluid, I understand. But I'm on board with the move high-end studs for studs and reassure your roster.
Sure.
Speaking of Dallas, sell Dalton Schultz. Gallup's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And Gallup is good. He's a good wide receiver.
Yeah.
I know we don't want to talk dynasty, but he's a dynasty buy for me.
He's going to get paid next year.
He's going to. He's going to leave because Dallas doesn't have the money
anymore. Yeah, they can't afford paying all of them.
I wouldn't be surprised if they trade Amari Cooper as well.
Mm.
But with Gallup, either he's staying and Cooper's leaving, or he's going somewhere to be the number one.
Right.
And regardless of that situation, I like the outcome.
Yep.
If he goes to New England and is the wide receiver one, putting guys like Bourne and Aguilar and wide receiver two and three and Myers. Now we're talking that now that's a good offense.
Yep.
But when you're not wide receiver number one is Jacoby Myers, yeah, you're limited, right? Yeah. But Michael Gallup, a big physical receiver, I like it. Same thing with like a Jacksonville, putting him with with Chenault and Marvin Jones and DJ Chark. Now everybody. It's all about putting everybody where they belong in the rotations. Gallup's a buy low, but I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. Dalton Schultz, you can't look yourself in the mirror and say that he's going to be a top five tight end come the end of the season.
It's tough, especially when you're splitting time already with Blake Jarwin. Like, you're not even the full-time tight end on your own team. So to guarantee top five is going to be really tough when you have guys like Gesicki, Waller's eventually going to come back to life. Kittle's eventually going to be back. Whether or not he ends up being in the top five, I don't know. But
Hawkinson picking back up.
Hawkinson's
Andrews
picking
has
back
been
up.
Great.
Kelsey's been quiet by Kelsey standards. So it's one of those things
he's on course to do exactly what he did last year.
That is crazy.
But it's going to take him one more game. That's the issue.
Right. And that's the thing. It's all relative, but no, I'm with you because Gallup can win on the outside. He can win in the middle of the field. And that, of course, takes away from Schultz and his production.
The only thing with Schultz that's helping him is putting two tight ends on the field and him working in the play action game with Zeke. That's what's getting him going. But I do think he's going to be less volume. It's going to, instead of 6 to 8 targets, he's going to be 3 to 4 based off of that stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't hate it. So my next sell high, Adam Thielen. He's coming off the bye and had the big game against Carolina. So that's kind of the last thing that people remember. He had, I don't know, it was 12 targets, 100 yards and a touchdown, something crazy. That game went into overtime. They ran like 89 plays, something crazy. He had 11 combined targets within the previous two games. He lives off of touchdowns. He did it last year. He's kind of doing it again this year where it's very kind of hot and cold. That offense runs through Justin Jefferson. He's the one that consistently gets the target volume. And Adam Thielen, he makes his day if he wins, if it gets a touchdown. Every once in a while, he'll have a game where he can get something like he did against Carolina. Again, if you can either use that performance to upgrade at receiver, or if you can kind of tear that down and get another solid receiver, like a T. Higgins or something like that, who is overshadowed by Ja'Marr Chase. So he's still holding his own, but he doesn't have that perceived value, plus a running back or something like that. I'd be absolutely for that.
This one's tough. This is the one I think I have to disagree with you on. I think I have to be Stephen A here.
We made it so far.
I know we did. I like Adam Thielen. I love him. The issue with him is all the things that you're saying, the reasons to sell him, are the reasons to hold him. So his bye week is passed. Mm-hmm. Now, are you going to trade him for T. Higgins, who has a bye in 2 weeks? Now you have another bye week to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's touchdown dependent, but the volume has always been there for him. He has big weeks of like 4 catches, 50 yards, and 2 touchdowns. But even take away the touchdowns, he's still a fantasy relevant player. I agree the offense doesn't run through him. It runs through Dalvin Cook and mm-hmm. then Justin Jefferson. But the attention's on Justin Jefferson. And that's why he's being fantasy relevant. That's why he's being productive. And that's why he's being so good in the red zone. That's the same reason why Tyler Lockett is so good in the red zone the last 2 years with Russ. It's not because of the cohesiveness. Yeah, it kind of is. But it's because everybody's worried about DK Metcalf.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to have somebody on his outside so he doesn't run a fade. You can't run a slant. You have to have somebody inside. He's pretty much doubled in the red zone. And then there's only so many. You have 11 football players. You have to stop the run game. You have to stop the quarterback from getting out of the pocket. And then he runs really good routes, and he knows how to get open. And that's why he's so good. And this is the same thing with Thielen. He's very good at what he does. I hate call, because every time you hear sneaky athletic, it's only used for white guys.
Mm.
But he's more athletic than people give him credit for. I know he's 30, but I have a hard time selling Adam Thielen as an Adam Thielen owner.
So do you think, just for an example, and this is just me pulling something, do you think you could pull off a Thielen for Keenan Allen plus something really small?
Oh, Keenan Allen is a whole different argument. I think Keenan Allen's a trade up at this point.
Yeah.
Because he's still getting 10 to 12 targets, you know, 8 right. to 12 targets a game too.
I think the Mike Williams kind of explosion this year may have overshadowed Keenan Allen.
Earth.
Absolutely. And that's kind of where I'm going with this, where I think that you can take the big boom games of Adam Thielen and take that and go for somebody like Keenan Allen, who's, we know he's a stud. We know he's getting the volume, but he's being overshadowed by these huge performances from Mike Williams.
Yeah, the only way I'm trading Adam Thielen is if I'm getting somebody like Keenan Allen, Calvin Ridley, Amari Cooper, or Stephon Diggs.
Yep.
I'm trading up.
Sure.
Or I'm trading him for a starting running back, like an RB2. You know, if I don't have an RB3, yeah, sure, I'll try to get another RB, or if I'm starting like a Damian Harris as my RB2 and I don't have any other options, yeah, okay, I'll turn him into I don't have anything off the top of my head. I don't want to throw out a stupid name.
Mm.
But yeah, the only way I'm trading Thielen is if I'm trading up.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine, and I think you can do that as a sell high, just being the main piece where you get something that you don't have to give up as much as you may have before.
And then my last guy, Mike Gesicki.
I feel like this is a big one for you. You've been a big Gesicki guy for a while.
I still am, but right now is the time to sell him.
Okay.
The only reason he's producing so well with Tua is because Devontae Parker is out. When Devontae Parker is active, Mike Gesicki's usage goes down. Over the last 2 years, his usage has gone down. I think it's 35% when Parker is active. Mm-hmm. With Parker coming back this week, most likely, he was an uphill battle. They ended up waiting. He's probably going to be closer to a game time decision. But I do see him being active this week. Mike Gesicki is right now, I think, what, the tight end 3 on the year?
Yep.
This is as high as it's going to get.
Yeah.
You know, with...
You hit the mountain.
You hit the mountaintops. You're there. You know, he's... And the nice part is when you're trying to trade like CJ Uzomah right now, everybody knows you're just trying to sell high.
Right.
Mike Gesicki is a good tight end who's been used a lot in the last few weeks. His numbers are skewed because he wasn't used when Parker was active and Tua was a quarterback. Tua gets hurt, and then a bad quarterback in Jacoby Brissett relies on his tight ends, and then Tua comes back and Parker is out. Mm-hmm. So it's been a win-win so far. Once Parker is back, I think Gesicki goes back to that 8, 9, 10 point a week guy. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be getting 10 catches anymore. That's just my opinion. What are your thoughts?
So I think that similar to your thoughts on Adam Thielen, I would only move Gesicki if it was for an upgrade to where he's the bulk piece and I only have to throw in something small to get a Kelsey, Waller, whatever. Or I maybe, I use the word loosely, tear down to a TJ Hockenson plus maybe a Robbie Anderson or something like
that. I don't see the Hockenson owner doing that, though. That's the issue with here is I agree with your point. But if you're a Hockenson owner, are you being talked into giving Robbie and Hockenson for Gesicki right now? No, probably not, right?
The thing that I would say as far as that goes is Hockenson isn't getting the touchdowns where Gesicki is. Hockenson hasn't killed you in any weeks, but he hasn't won you really any weeks either. Tight end is always a tough landscape just because the position is so volatile. But I think you can take advantage of these big Gesicki weeks where he's getting you 20, 30 points versus a Hockenson who's getting you 10 to 15 to 18 at most. He's just not getting the touchdowns in Gesicki is, and you might be able to sell a Hockenson manager on that to, you know, hey, Gesicki will get you over the top where Hockenson is not doing a ton for you. He's giving you a stable floor, but he's not really putting you over the top.
Yeah, if I can get Ertz or Higbee or Goddard and then a better player and another player thrown in, now we're talking. Mm. I have a heart, like, go get TJ Hockenson if you can. I agree, absolutely. But most likely Gesicki is probably your tight end too. If you went no tight end and ended up, you know, picking him up as your only tight end in like the 10th, 12th round. Mm-hmm. All right, sure. But most likely if you did that, you also covered your ass and got a Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Jared Cook, mm-hmm. Mo Alley Cox type player. And I don't see a Hockenson owner doing it. If I could get like a Higbee who's going to get me 8 to 12 a week, and then I can get let's say Gesicki and Robert Woods. I know he's my, you know, might as well just put him in this conversation. Gesicki and Woods and turning it into, let's say, Tyler Higbee and Keenan Allen. Now that's the type of trade I'm trying to do. I'm trying to come back a little bit, which is really more of a lateral move, but he just hasn't produced as much so far. And then upgrading a wide receiver or upgrading a running back or quarterback. That's what I'm trying to do there.
Yeah, no, that's not bad. While we're talking about the Dolphins, I'll give you my last sell high.
This worked, but I don't. Go ahead.
We were on a good flow
this
today.
This is a very weird flow. We accidentally did this. Go ahead.
It's post week 7. We made it out. You know, we're better men, you know, for making it out of week 7.
Are we?
I don't know. That's what I'm going with. Okay. It's a good narrative, I guess.
Maybe you're a better man. You're a better man than I.
Hey, you know who's someone who I'm not trying to, no, I'm trying to get rid of right now? Miles Gaskin. I'm kind of sick of it. I was never a Gaskin fan to begin with, just because of how I felt the team was telling us how they felt about him. But he's that stereotypical player that when you start him, he does nothing. When you bench him, he goes off and you hate yourself for it. And you go back to the well because, he had a good game. Let me do it. Nope. Very hot and cold.
He just went for 25, goes for two.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's one of those that you can't stand managing as a manager. And you may be able to take advantage of somebody who, hey, I'm desperate for running back. I lost all my running backs. I just need somebody. And, he's had some good weeks. Sure, take him off my hands. Let me get rid of that headache. I know for me, I never bought into the headache, but if I had him for any reason, I don't want it anymore.
Yeah, so my thing with I have 11 leagues. I own Gaskin in one of them. Even in bye week hell, I'm missing Austin Eckler. I'm missing Najee Harris. I still didn't start him.
Mm-hmm.
Not even in my flex spot. Mm-hmm. In redraft, I started Javonte over him.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God I did. Well,
they were close.
Javonte had 17. I was happy with that on Thursday night.
Oh, for sure.
But like, I have no faith in Gaskin. Zero, zilch, nada.
Mm-hmm.
I expected to Malcolm Brown to have that power back role on this team. But I expected Gaskin to have, 12 to 15 rushes a game, and he's just not doing it.
Yeah. I for whatever reason, he had the usage last year, and everyone thought he was going to be that very good, sneaky running back that just went under the radar but performed really well.
He was Mr. Zero RB, him and Kareem Hunt.
Exactly, Mr. Zero RB. And I feel like all offseason, you heard all kinds of news and hype that, no, we want an actual RB. Like, we don't want Miles Gaskin.
And we want Javonte. We want Javonte.
Aaron Jones, Javonte, you name it, they went after it and wanted it. To me, it's just get rid of the headache while you can. You just scored your 17 points, probably on your bench because you were sick of starting him, but he scored 17. Just give the headache to somebody else. Do yourself a favor.
I don't hate it.
All right.
That's all I got on my guys. Ty. I know you're editing this episode right now. You should have been on the episode with us. Homework can wait. That's all I got on you. Tyler is a sell low.
Oof.
Not a sell high, not a buy low. He's a sell low. Not a sell out.
Yeah, it's very different.
Not a sell out. He's a great guy. But right now he's a sell low. He missed an episode. Kind of upsetting.
He should have sold his credentials to somebody so he could do the homework or just pay somebody to do his homework for him so that way you could be at the episode.
Yeah.
Priorities, man.
Or he should have done it all week.
Yeah. That's another thought too. Hey, what are you going to do? We're here. We held it down. We made it.
We held it down. Kyle holding it down.
For another episode.
But that's all I got this week. Biomageddon is over. The Biapocalypse is over. We can now skate free with all of our starting players. All of our Pittsburgh players are back. Minnesota, Jacksonville, Buffalo. I could keep going. Dallas.
Yeah.
There's so many. It's
too many players. But for anybody that's starting any Seahawks players or New Orleans players tonight, best of luck. You're probably going to need it. I feel like this game's going to be gross.
But I need DK to go for 18.
Okay.
It's doable. I need Alex Collins to be inactive and put up 0 points because I'm up 0.3 in a league.
Yep.
And he's the only player left. And I also need Alex Collins to go for 16. At the same time of putting up, yeah, I know.
That's a predicament.
Yeah. And then I think I need my kicker to go for like 15.
Okay. Yeah. To be honest, it could be one of those ugly games where you just end up seeing a bunch of field goals. You never know.
If I prefer, Alex Collins just doesn't see the field and it's all Rashad Penny.
Okay. Yeah, that would be nice and for him not to be hurt, just get on the field, stay on the field.
When he's been healthy, he's been good.
Yeah.
But the game hasn't started yet. If Rashad Penny gets 15 carries,
okay,
he's going to have 70 or more yards.
Okay. You heard it here first, folks.
That's it. That's all I got. That's my hot take of the week.
All right. We're good. I think this has been a good one.
It's been a great one.
Yeah.
Check in next week. Tyler should be back. He might not be back next week. He's starting a new job, but he's still going to fire these episodes out for us in the meantime. That's it. Check in next week. Catch you guys later.
All right. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Peace.